We're in Flagstaff, Arizona, a very interesting place, and we have Dr. Stephen Ulish here, who has been on our show before. I remember you coming by our studios in Muskogee, Oklahoma, sometime back.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Yes, we came 3 years ago, I believe, when my first book was published.
So how did the first book do? I want to get to the second book because it just came out, and it's very topical.
Well, the first book did well. I got responses really from people all over the world talking about the Great Harpazo Deception, the real story of UFOs. And this book that I just finished is the sequel to that book. Well, it has the biblical battle of Gog and Magog when all the Islamic countries come and invade Israel, which you said is very topical. This particular battle, as mentioned in the Bible, is the battle of in Ezekiel 38 when the Islamic nations all come down into Israel. The Battle of Armageddon is when the Lord returns and fights all the nations. That's a more global.
So this battle that we're talking about, you wrote about in this book, it hasn't happened yet.
Not yet.
So we have a few things to look forward to. Now tell us a little bit about your hypothesis about UFOs, because I thought it was very interesting, and then we'll get into this book. Remember, we talked about that in great detail.
Yes, we did. I was saying that I believe that the UFOs are not extraterrestrials. They're demonic entities, and I believe that when the rapture, the Bible talks about the rapture of the church, it's going to happen in the end of days, that will be explained to those left behind as an abduction by flying saucers. It's a perfect explanation for those left behind.
But you do think that it is demonic rather than angelic, for lack of a better term, as far as the UFOs themselves?
Definitely. Demonic, not angelic.
And, well, you know, the reason I ask you that, because in ufology now, this is becoming more and more prevalent in a lot of people's talking. And there's two or three theories about it. And you're very educated on it.
Right. Actually, when you said angelic versus demonic, I think they're angels, but they're fallen angels. I believe that we talked about that last time. You said, well, don't you believe that UFOs exist and that alien beings exist? Yes, I believe they do. But they're not what you think they are. They're fallen angels. They're not extraterrestrials.
Let's talk a little bit about the book here, and then we'll get into some of this commentary. The book is available, and you can order it. Why don't you go ahead and give the title, and we have a link to it on our website, and tell our listeners a little bit about it and how they can get it.
Okay, the title is Invasion Israel, and it's on my publisher's website, which is www.publishamerica.com. But as I said, it's a sequel. Because even though it talks about the invasion of these Arab countries into Israel, it still has the UFOs. It still has the same Azazel, which was the main alien entity from the first book. He's still in this book, too.
And does he survive in this book, too? Is there going to be another sequel to this sequel?
3 years.
You think it's going to take 3 years this time? Well, you're not working full time.
I hope not. So. We don't have that much time left, I think. But anyways,
do you think it's pretty getting pretty close?
I think we're in the end of times. I definitely think so. But I think, as you said, what I've tried to do, Jerry, in both of these books, is do a bridge between biblical notions and this whole UFO community, which many people would think are totally disparate. But actually, I think they're very tied together. As I said, as we move into the end of times, I think people are, you know, as I said to you last time, I've been studying UFOs for 40 years. I mean, I was involved in NICAP and APRO and the Blue Book, Project Blue Book. I studied that back in the 60s. And I always was attracted to the notion of extraterrestrials. My degrees in astronomy, life on other planets, I mentioned that also. But then in later in life, I've gotten more involved in study of the Bible and biblical notions, and I'm trying to find that there's a great deal of similarity, as I said. This book takes up where the first book ended, where when the church is gone, the Christians are raptured off, it's explained, and it also does that in this book also. It talks about, I've got a Jewish professor at the university in his class, and we follow Harry Jacobson all throughout this book, and all of a sudden this rapture, this abduction takes place during one of his students, and the Christian student is gone, and all the rest are left, including him.
And so life does go on after the rapture, just like in the scriptures.
Right. Life goes on for those left behind, and then things begin to fall apart very quickly because the president and vice president of our country are gone. And I said, thank God George Bush won again, because if Kerry had won. Anyways, I don't know if we would have got the same. I had this all planned out, and the election was so close, and I said, gee, if Kerry wins, I don't know if it'll fit, but, you know.
Didn't you think it could happen this term?
I hope so.
You think it's very close then?
I think it's in our lifetimes. You know, I mean, I hope. The way things are going in the world, especially with the Islamic community, I mean, we're seeing what's going on in the world, and what happens in this is shortly after the people are gone, Los Angeles is attacked with smallpox, and Tel Aviv and Israel's attacked with smallpox by terrorists, and the Israelis nuke Damascus and Baghdad. So it's just very much like what's going on even in today's newspaper. But
I want to get back to why you think it's on the end times and are they're so close in a minute. But first of all, you mentioned your background in ufology, and let's get into that for a little bit before we get back to the book. You live in a very interesting area here, Flagstaff. There's always sightings around here. Are you aware of any? I hear about them all the time. See lights up by San Francisco Peaks and things like that. Have you seen anything around here?
I've seen a lot of things, but not any UFOs. What's that famous one? They made a move, Fire in the Sky.
Travis Walton. He doesn't live very far from here. Snowflake.
Snowflake, right. But I grew up in the Midwest, grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. And then when I was a professor at the University of Arizona, I got involved with an Alan Hynek group studying UFOs. They were based in Tucson, Arizona. So I've been involved in this one way or the other for many, many years.
And you gradually kind of changed your outlook a little bit about UFOs, but from what I take it, you believe they're real.
Oh, they're definitely real. They're definitely real, and I said that the sightings of individual entities. I think all this is, since Roswell in 47, is similar because we had Israel reinstituted as a state in 1948, which I think biblically is the beginning of the end times. Roswell in 47, the demonic entities are getting ready for the great deception, which will be that when all the Christians are gone, they were taken by UFOs.
It looks like the people left behind would be able to witness that. They wake up the next day and they're gone, or what?
Well, they're all of a sudden gone from around them, but unfortunately, people would rather believe that they were taken by UFOs than they were taken by Jesus. Most people rationally, I mean, I talk to my own children, my own boys, they would accept that explanation rather than the religious one. They think I'm totally crazy. UFOs aren't crazy, but I'm crazy.
Well, we've talked about that in detail for some time, but you have been following your outline on that book, and I'm not saying you're crazy. I'm not agreeing with your son.
Okay.
But you definitely have a definite opinion about it, and you have the scriptures to back up why you believe certain things.
Right, and I think the scriptures say that the people will be deceived, and I think the Great Deception, that was the title of the first book, is called The Great Harpazo Deception. Harpazo is just the Greek word for rapture, which we call an English rapture, the catching away of the body of Christ, which the church says is going to happen at the end of times. And I think people left behind, as in the second book, believe that they were taken by UFOs, because the whole sky will be covered with UFOs when the church is gone. So they're going to believe they were taken up, and the Azazel comes in the sky and says, I took all these people away so the planet could evolve to a higher level of consciousness. People will believe that.
Now, let me ask you a question. Maybe you've given some thought to this, or maybe you haven't. Since Roswell 47, there have been incidents in history reported that perhaps even before that, what are these UFOs and angels or demons or whatever they are doing the last 50 years? Why are we having these encounters?
Well, we're having these encounters to set the stage. I mean, Satan, the great deceiver, the great fallen angel. He's the one who's setting the stage for when he knows the Christians are going to be raptured. The Bible says they will be caught away. And so he's setting the false illusion that they were taken by flying saucers. People in our, I mean, we see this, so we're a technological society, and we can understand flying saucers, we can understand life on other planets, people consider themselves rational, intelligent people. They'll accept that. They won't accept the Bible. I mean, that for many people is out of the realm of possibility. So this way, Satan is setting the stage for the great deception. When the body's gone, it'll be explained as taken by flying saucers. People will accept that more easily.
Do you think you'll get the third book out in time? Nobody knows.
Nope. How about if I say I hope not, but I hope so? I don't know.
Both ways.
But
it's interesting you bring up this about the technology, and people will accept flying saucers because of the technology and things like that. There's a run of regular spiritualism believes that too. You know, that's what these UFOs right. are.
Right, because I think that's the truth. I mean, so it truth finds its way through all error, but it takes time. But it's interesting in this book, as I wrote it, which was probably a year and a half ago or 2 years. There's beheadings, just like we're seeing on the news today. Well, there's beheadings in this end times when people left behind. Anybody that mentions the name of Jesus has got his head immediately cut off. But the one who cuts it off is the UFO entity, Azazel. He's the one that does it.
And it's seen on worldwide on television.
Well, everywhere. I mean, yeah, they're just cut off, and anybody that says it, even in jest, even in cussing, just says the name because he doesn't want anybody to hear that name, and he cuts off their head, which we're seeing on the news today. Beheadings. Who would have heard of beheadings in the 21st century?
So you're saying it'd be a very strict society after the rapture?
Well, no, it'll be a totally chaotic society. Everything is falling apart because America falls apart. That's why I think America's not in the Bible. It's not in the end times. The president's gone. The vice president's gone. Many in the Congress are gone. The country falls apart. And so most of this book takes place in Israel. It goes back. The main characters end up back in the Middle East. Again, I just want people to have an alternative explanation. I think it's the explanation, but at least an alternative explanation for UFOs and for alien entities. And that's this spiritual or biblical explanation. And because I think they're definitely real, they definitely exist, and they're happening in more increasing frequency. And that, again, is that we're in the end times. The bottom line, even in my book, is that when this catching away of the Christians happen, I mean, some of the people, even I mentioned in the book, some of the people you would think would be gone are not gone. They're still here, and some of the ones you think that will not go are gone.
Well, that's kind of biblical in itself, though, right?
Only God knows. So the people, some of the self-righteous preachers are still here, and some of the sinners are gone. So read the book. There's hope for everyone. See, no one knows but God.
But living here in Flagstaff for some time, as you haven't ran across anyone like Travis Walton who's ran across any of the same beings?
Well, actually, when I did a book signing for my first book at a local bookstore 2-3 years ago, and some woman came up to me, and she was fascinated by UFOs, and she thought this was my book. Oh, it sounded so great, and because she had all these experiences. Well, I said, well, just read the book and give me a call, and I never heard from her. But anyway,
that's too bad. I thought we might be on an exclusive.
Get somebody on there, but no, she said, no, I don't think so.
Well, Stephen, it's always great to see you, Dr. Stephen Ulish is our guest, and you've retired now, and you're writing full-time, and that's not really a retirement job.
Well, I just, do the best I can. Yeah, I used to be a professor, as you mentioned, and I used to be a leader in the Phoenix Jewish community also. So for a former professor and a former leader in the Jewish community to write a book about Jesus, I mean, I've got a lot of people that are critical in my own family about me. But anyway, but from a nice Jewish boy from Cleveland, whose whole family voted Democrat their whole life, you know, I'm quite a unique person. But
we've had discussions about that.
But anyways, but I think it just shows that what I'm doing, I really feel strong about, and I believe it's the truth. But I think the book is very funny because the Harry Jacobson, this professor's got a wife, and she's black. And I don't know. I just think it's really humorous, their dialogue between the two of them. And part of that, I based on growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, and a lot of black people in the community. So I think there's some funny episodes in there. My wife tells me that.
Well, good. We'll look forward to reading the book, and we look forward to having you on again when you write the next book. And if events start breaking your way, I'll be calling you on the phone, okay?
I may not be here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. We haven't seen him for weeks. We don't know what happened to him.
If I'm gone, Jerry, then pick up the book and read it again or something. Because there is hope for people even in the period after the rapture, as I said. Because people in the period after the rapture still call out to the Lord. This book is much more depressing than the other one. There's a lot of death and destruction and killing and beheadings.
Well, the world is a lot more depressing than it was 3 years ago.
And it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, yeah. So.
Well, we do agree on that, at least. Always great to see you, Stephen, and it's great coming through Flagstaff. We've got a great place here. The mountains are very peaceful. I'm sure it's a great place to ride.
It's beautiful, yes, I love it. It's just an absolutely beautiful, beautiful city.
Okay, the name of the book, once again, go ahead and give it to us.
It's Invasion Israel, and they can get it on publishamerica.com. And as I said, even, quote-unquote, UFO people, I think, as you said, are becoming more and more interested in this.
Yeah, and as I've said, this is becoming more of a school of thought. In fact, they just had a conference in which the Bible was discussed openly in Roswell, New Mexico, which we attended. And there was people from the spiritual area and people from the demonic area, and they seemed to get together for 3 days and actually discuss things in a more or less rational way.
That's good. I think as we move into the end of times, we have to realize what we have in common, not what we have apart. You know, because as you said, the times are getting worse and worse in this world. They're going to get a lot worse, I think I said, before they get better. But in this book, these armies come down, as in Ezekiel 38, come down and invade the northern part of Israel, and then, as the Bible says, they're all destroyed by the Lord. But there's another entity I don't have time to go into. But there's a man that arises in this book, who comes up a worldwide figure with a cure for AIDS, and he becomes worshipped worldwide. And he is sort of a model of the biblical Antichrist, and he's in this book too. And he calls for the crucifixion of all the Jews in the world, and which is really ironic because he's Jewish. But anyways, so I think people should read the book. There's a lot of it. As I said, the UFOs are still there. Azazel, the UFO entity, gives this Antichrist figure, the cure for AIDS. It's given to him by this extraterrestrial or alien demonic entity. He's the one that gives it to him.
Stephen, it sounds exciting. And, you know, the thing about fiction, when you write it like that, sometimes it's stranger than the truth, and sometimes it's a way to mask the truth.
Truth is stranger than fiction, but I would just hopefully people pick up a copy of the book and read it, and I think it's going to give them a new perspective on what's going on in the world, especially with Islam and all that we see going on in the world, because there's a lot of quotes from Islamic leaders in the Quran and the book also.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, and hopefully it's not an emergency call. Thanks very much, Stephen.
Hopefully it's not a no-answer call. I said, if I don't answer the call, you're in big trouble.
you said there might still be hope.
Well, there is, but I won't be here to help you.
We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Always a pleasure to talk to you.